Is our concluding lesson on the topic of discovering your spiritual gifts. In the course of our study, we have gone through a lot of information because the doctrine of spiritual gifts is spread throughout the New Testament, especially in the epistles. And several different instructions are given in different places. And we were trying to systematize it together so that we can have a fairly good doctrinal and practical understanding of the spiritual gifts which God has given to each one of us. So to begin with again, to know that a spiritual gift is a God-given ability for spiritual service. We have gone through a lot of information, but the primary thing for us to remember is that God has given each one of us, every believer, boy and girl, man and woman, old and young, every member of the Church of God, Assembly of God, irrespective of our spiritual condition, maturity, knowledge, age and experience, each one of us is endowed with a special divine blessing of grace. And that is a God-given ability to serve the Lord. It may be in serving others. It may be in encouraging others. It may be in the area of giving. It may be in the area of service or helps or leadership, exhortation, teaching. It can be in the area of evangelism. So there are different things. Some of them are vocal, more vocal, you know, speaking gifts. Some of them are serving gifts. Some of them are more public. Others are more private. But all of us have been given various spiritual gifts. And once we know the spiritual gifts which God has given to us, we should consider that as the lead strength of our spiritual life. And we should exercise our spiritual gifts in the area where God has gifted us. We can be involved in a number of ways in the Assembly of God. You know, we, as I repeatedly reminded you, none of us should say that I'm not gifted, so I don't want to do it. But at the same time, we should know our limitation and our strength. And where the Lord has gifted us, we should spend more time, more of our ministry, our expertise, our knowledge, our involvement, because that is where the Lord is going to use you more. That is why the Lord has given you those spiritual gifts. So a spiritual gift is a God-given ability for spiritual service. The simplest definition. It is a divine endowment upon every member of the body of Christ to serve the Lord effectively. So brothers and sisters, all of us have been given various spiritual gifts. Now, in our last studies today, that is the sixth week of our study, as Solomon said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So we hope that today's study will be very, very helpful. So we are going to look at the most important practical question people always ask me. But the difficulty in this question is not addressed in the Bible. So we have to come up with subjective opinion and answers based on the scripture. I have struggled through this wherever I have preached and taught for the last many years and several places, you know, seminars on spiritual gifts, all these things. Everybody at the end say, Uncle, we agree with all what you said. We learned quite a bit. But how can I know the spiritual gifts which God has given to me? How will I know that? That's a genuine question. But the, you know, but the other side in relation to this question is that The Bible does not address that issue at all. So, discovering our spiritual gifts. In the biblical teaching on spiritual gifts, it is assumed that believers will know some point along their life what are their gifts. If the Lord has saved me for His glory, and if the Lord wants to use me for His service, need not be full time. I'm talking about all of us, you know. So, since the Lord has a plan and purpose for us, He will make sure that somewhere along the line, we will know our spiritual gifts. His Spirit will communicate that to us through the enlightenment of the Word of God, through the study of God's Word. And as we pray and as we wait in God's presence, He will show us that, my son, my daughter, this is the God-given ability I have given to you. Or abilities, it can be more than one spiritual gift. So exercise it for my glory. We don't have to compete with others. We only need to serve the Lord with the gifts which the Lord has given to us. He has given to us in His sovereign will, plan, and purpose. So nobody has a control over it. He is the one who decides which gifts I should get and which one you should get. Some of us may be blessed with more public gifts. Some of us may be with more private gifts, and which you personally exercise in the background. But we all pool our spiritual gifts together and make things happen for God's glory. So that attitude, not competition, not comparison, but complimenting one another and serving the Lord. Sometimes our carnality, our flesh, our ego doesn't allow that. You know, that is why people want to compete with one another, want to get something which you don't have. The Lord cannot bless that kind of ministry and attitude. You have a place in God's plan and purpose. I have a place. And God has divinely and sovereignly designed that. And it is always good to be humble and submissive under the mighty arms of God, so that at the right time, as Peter tells us, that He will lift you up. You know, humble yourselves under the mighty arms of God. In due time, He will lift you up. So, in the biblical teaching on spiritual gifts, it is assumed that believers will know what their gifts are. Hence, there are no commandments in the Word of God to discover one's spiritual gifts. We are disappointed, am I right? You know, no commandments that you go and discover your spiritual gifts. But the, you know, today's lesson is discovering spiritual gifts, because that question looms large in our minds and we need help. So we want to help one another in the light of some important truths which we have already studied. What are some of the reasonable ways through which we can discover our spiritual gifts? The instruction in the Word of God is always to exercise our spiritual gift, use our spiritual gift, develop it, and recognize our spiritual gifts. Now, let me read a couple of verses by way of focusing this topic. For example, we have looked at these verses before. In 1 Peter chapter 5, again, none of the passages talk about discovery, but it gives us instruction in relation to what we should do. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each one, see, everywhere where spiritual gift is dealt with in the Word of God, the phrase occurs, each one, nobody is exempted. Everybody has been endowed with this abundant spiritual blessing. As each one has received a gift, spiritual gift, minister, serve it to one another. How? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So number one, We should know that this is a stewardship which God has committed to me. You know, that means I'm responsible, I must be faithful, and I am accountable before God. It is a managerial duty. You are a manager, a steward. God has invested something. You are not the owner. You are the manager. Owner and manager, they are two different. You manage the owner's possessions, his treasure, his business, his wealth. And he will ask you account one day. And it is also implied in stewardship that you have to be faithful. That is why the manager, the owner has appointed you, thinking that you are faithful. So you be faithful, accountable, and responsible. Be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay, that is one guideline. Another one in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, there is no verse on discovery, but there are verses in relation to how we must use it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Sorry, chapter 1, second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, I remind you, Paul is reminding Timothy to stir up or to develop, fan into flame, you know, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You know, Paul laid his hands by way of recognition of the spiritual gifts God has given to Timothy. And under his apostolic authority, that is something which he did. God blessed Timothy with certain gifts, and the congregation became aware of that. And Paul, as his mentor and an apostle, he laid his hand as a public recognition of it. So, what is the instruction here? To stir up that gift. You exercise that. You develop that gift. You do business with that gift. So, again, there is no mention of how to discover. Now, some practical guidelines on discovering our spiritual gifts. I believe this is how I personally will approach it. And I have used it to help many others, and many people have found it helpful. Number one, maybe it is good to ask three questions. What interest, what abilities do I have in relation to my role and responsibilities in the church? Where do I stand in relation to my responsibilities? And what are my abilities, my interests, my inclinations? What are my lead strengths? You know, it is good to have an inventory of that about your spiritual life. I'm in an assembly, I'm getting involved, but in which way, in which area I have more burden, more passion, and more interest, more aptitude, and where the Lord is leading me more. That may be a good practical way to look at it. Number two, has there been a blessing in the past? Has there been a blessing in the past in ministering in a particular area of service? You might have been involved in various areas of ministry and serving, private or public. Has there been tremendous blessing in one particular area where you were serving? So that will stand out, you know, that you felt, you experienced, and others also testified that, okay, that area where you have been serving, you know, whether it is through the ministry of music or teaching or preaching or exhortation or serving in the background or encouraging or helping or leading, whatever be. We looked at all the various spiritual gifts. Which area has been more of a blessing? Number three, do I feel more burdened about some specific ministry and service? These are three common sense questions, simple practical questions, scripturally based. And it is important to ask these questions. Now, okay, further help is on the way. Six steps towards the discovery. Number one, we can pray about it if you are confused. You know, in the early days of my life, I was confused about it. I struggled to know which area is the lead strength the Lord has given me. I should pray, Lord, you have saved me. And I know you have given me some spiritual abilities. Your word tells that. And all of us have it. And help me to find it out, to recognize it, to appreciate that, and to clearly know what it is. Number two, enlightened by study. So the more we study about spiritual gifts from the word of God, that study itself will enlighten our minds about what are the spiritual gifts and what may be some of the spiritual gifts the Lord has given to us. But if our mind is blind on the information and the truth and the doctrine of spiritual gifts, simply praying or trying to discover, we will reach nowhere. So that is why it is important to study, you know, spend time as much as we can to know it systematically, understand it clearly. And as we study, it is God's way of enlightening our minds and confirming that these are some of the areas where you may be gifted. So that study is very important. Number three, it can be, again, these are subjective things, you know. So that is why I'm using may and can and all those things without being too dogmatic. Some practical suggestions. It can be, or it may be indicated by desire. I have a desire to serve. I have a desire to counsel, to encourage, to extend a hand, helping hand to others in need, sensitive to the material needs of others and wanting to help with a great burden and passion. And the next one, it will be confirmed by ability, because a spiritual gift is a God-given ability. The Spirit of God has given you a particular strength and ability, a divine endowment on your life, so that you will be able to serve the Lord effectively. I may be able to do many things, but where the Lord has gifted me, there my ministry will be more effective. Because that is God's plan and purpose. That is why the Lord has given you or me that gift or those gifts. And that's very important for us to know. It will be confirmed by ability, you know, that you will be able to do it well and with more assurance and confidence that you will be able to do it well. Recognized by others. See, we are the body of Christ. We are the people of God. We are a fellowship, a communion, a koinonia, a sharing, partnership, participation. So as we live together and serve the Lord and work together, the Lord will definitely use others also, maybe to make suggestions or to correct us or to counsel us or to point us that this may not be the area where the Lord has, you know, probably equipped you, but the other area, in your service in that area, it seems that you have more potential, you have more power, you bring, your ministry brings more blessing. So the counsel and opinion of others, people recognize it. Apostle Paul introduced Apollos you know, the new believer from Alexandria. You know, great orator, probably trained by Philo, the philosopher's disciples and all. You know, very ornate language and vocabulary and oratory in Greek rhetoric and all those things. And Paul introduced him to others. And all those who heard, they said, oh boy, what is this? You know, and we read that he refuted everyone who stood against the truth of the gospel. His words were so powerful and he could refute, and the people took him around, you know, in various debates and ministries, because that is the strength God has given to him to systematically think and to divide the word of God and to analytically present it, apologetically defend the truth. So it becomes very visible as people recognize our spiritual gifts. And the other one, accompanied by blessings. When we do a particular ministry, there is always a touch of blessing. I'm not necessarily talking about our ministries from here, the public proclamation that is also included in this, but any area of ministry, there is a warmth of your shake and your touch, the way you encourage, your words of counsel, you know, your prayer, your faith, your organizing capacity, your leadership, all these things bring blessing to people. And we are blessed because you are doing it. So that is a 6 steps toward the discovery, which can be helpful, initiated by prayer, enlightened by study, indicated by desire, confirmed by ability, recognized by others, and accompanied by blessings. And some further guidelines. Okay. Sometimes when I meet with some of my very close friends and they ask questions and all and keep on asking questions, and I give them outlines and everything, then I tell them it's all free, okay? So it's all free. So I have a few more guidelines that can be of help, okay? Asking, pray about. We touched upon it earlier. Keep on asking, praying. Awareness, be aware of what are the spiritual gifts. If you are praying for spiritual gifts, we should be aware of what are the spiritual gifts. Through diligent study of the scriptures, expose yourself to the teaching of the word on spiritual gifts. You know, that is a very important thing, because the more we read and study and pray and understand about spiritual gifts, the details given in the word of God, our spiritual gifts also become evident eventually through that process, because the Spirit of God will enlighten our mind. So 3 A's, asking, awareness, and aspiration. Be willing and committed to do what the Lord wants you to do. Be obedient. Once you are more assured or you are more convinced that these are not my spiritual gifts, I won't be able to do a good job in these areas, but these are my spiritual gifts, concentrate. Aspire to do more things for God's glory, because that is where the Lord wants you and your ministry. A few more A's, asking, awareness, aspiration, activity. Get involved, be active. See, that is the most important thing, you know, rather than waiting to know what are our spiritual gifts, keep on doing, pitch in wherever there is need, and try to get involved in whichever way you can. See, the Lord has always called and used to people who were doing something. Look at the early disciples. They were working hard in their fish industry. As fishermen, they were toiling and laboring and, pulling their nets. And in one place we read, the sons of Zebedee with their father were mending their nets. They were all working hard. Levi, Matthew, the tax collector, is working hard in his place. Maybe taking some bribes also, but anyway, he was involved in something. The Lord said, come and follow me. The Lord calls, usually do not call lazy people. God is sovereign. God can call lazy people. But in the history of redemption, we find when people are involved in Acts chapter 13, the first missionaries, what do we read? Saul and Barnabas all were actively serving and worshiping the Lord. They heard the call. They heard the call. So the Lord calls who are actively serving him. They did not know that they are going to be the first missionaries of the church, going to be great pioneer missionaries in the history of the church. They didn't have a clue. They were in the church at Antioch, the local church where the Lord has placed them. And there were prophets and teachers, and they were involved. There we read, as they were ministering, liturgos, ministry. It is like ministering like a priest. It is not the usual word for serving. It is the word for ministerial serving, priestly service. The word that is used in the book of Leviticus and all for temple and tabernacle offering. So in the church at Antioch, the brethren were doing a priestly service, a holy service, a dignified service. As the Lord gave them opportunity, they were doing it. And then they heard the call of God. You be involved. You start working, laboring, wherever there is opportunity, in whichever way you can. Maybe just 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's good enough. Maybe like the little stones David had to use in his sling. That's good enough. But use it and be active. Then the Lord will make you more faithful. If you are faithful in little things, the Lord will make you more faithful. So get involved. And as we get involved, then the Lord will show us the way. That this is the way. This is where you can be more productive, more fruitful, and more active. Ability, sharpen your skills. Activity points to your ability, and ability increases with the practice. So activity, be active, and the Lord will make clear to others and also to you that this is an area where the Lord has given you more ability, and you can sharpen your skills, improve your abilities, exercise it. You must develop. God is the one who sovereignly gives the spiritual gifts, but we have a responsibility to exercise it and to develop it and to sharpen the skills. Okay? God is not in the business of, putting a high premium on our laziness. No. God has given you wonderful, God has given me wonderful gifts. That's good enough. I have no. It doesn't work that way. The Lord wants us to sharpen, to work and to pray and to sharpen our abilities. Affirmation. That is the next thing. The blessings that will accompany. And when you exercise your spiritual gifts, it will be accompanied by blessings. Now, some of these things are repetition because I'm trying to reinforce the practical aspects of how to approach this topic, since I don't have a verse and a chapter to show you. The word of God does not address this issue, even though we are very curious about it. That means the Lord will take care of that. If you are genuine and sincere, the Lord will take care of that. Development of spiritual gifts by exercise, by evaluation. That is something people don't usually like it. That is, as we start exercising our spiritual gifts or getting involved, it is good to have accountability partners or our elders and others, mentors, who can give them suggestions and evaluate their activity, their performance, how they do. You know, in the culture and all in which I was brought up, people were there. They never tried to be politically correct. Sometimes we felt they were a little offensive. But those things have really helped. Somebody corrected me. Somebody helped me. You know, and that is kind of a forgotten art today. If we help others by evaluating and lovingly, graciously, truthfully, speaking the truth in love. And that is something very important. By we exercise, practice, and also willing to listen to others as they evaluate. If they have the guts to evaluate. No, that also we need today. These are all missing links happening in our culture and also getting into the churches and to families too. The next one is study, that is by education. So the three E's also can be helpful by exercise and by evaluation and by education. Now, in closing, just I want to read one verse from 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's a difficult verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. 2 Timothy 1:6 also, the same truth. Which was given to you. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Presbytery, team of elders. Now, the way I understand it, probably I'm always right. Am I right? So, this is probably the best way to understand it. That in those days, as last week, as I, you know, reminded, there was no completed Bible. So, how will they know about spiritual gifts? Today, we can say 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Mark, Ephesians. They didn't have that luxury. So there were prophets in the church. So the timely advice, doctrinal and practical truths for the gathering of God's people, timely reminders were given by prophetic utterance in the local assembly. So Timothy had never a textbook or a sacred Bible like this. Documents to look at and to study about spiritual gifts. Paul might have taught him some, as Paul, under inspiration, had knowledge about some of these things. But in a miraculous way, I believe that's what the verse means, that in the gathering of the church at Ephesus, the elders, one of the prophets, might have got up and said, the prophetic revelation has come to me that our young brother Timothy is gifted by the Lord in these areas. You know, today we can't do that. I can't do that because I can only point you to the scripture. Those days, they did not have the completed Bible. So prophetic utterance were given. So Timothy, through the prophetic utterance you received, the Lord made it clear to the assembly. Then what did the elders do? They laid their hands on him to publicly recognize and affirm. Eldership, presbytery, that is the team of elders, not one elder, group of eldership is a team, you know. So all the elders together affirmed that and recognized it so that the believers also should know that this young brother Timothy has been gifted by the Lord and the assembly has publicly recognized and affirmed it. There is a principle for us today, no prophets and apostles, but we have elders. It is good to recognize the spiritual gift of others, even publicly, you know, by way of encouragement or by giving them opportunities or by encouraging them by words or introducing them to assembly of God's people. You know, those are some of the ways. I cannot say these are 1, 2, 3, like these are the ways which we should recognize. But the principle of recognition, the principle of revelation through prophetic utterance, and the elders publicly recognized. I hope and pray that our 6-week study would enlighten us more, and this will create a real spiritual revolution in our midst as we exercise our spiritual gifts for the glory of God and for the edification of the saints. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the abundance of the truth of God's word illuminated to us through the pages of the Holy Scriptures. We pray that we may be blessed by it. Thank you for the opportunity to study on spiritual gifts for the last 6 weeks, and we pray that thou may make it a very productive, useful, fruitful for ELBC, for each one of us, our families, our young people, for all of us, for not only for now, but also for our future ministries. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for the spiritual gifts which you have given to us and the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds in the things that are written in the Word of God. We praise you together. Send us now with your benediction and blessing, and until we meet again, let thy joy and blessing be our portion. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.